It's tough to follow the fluffy bunnies. Good morning. My name is Todd Johnson. I'm one of the youth leaders here at Pioneer Bible Church. And it's a youth service, so it's supposed to be a little different, as you've already noticed so far. But we're going to look at a story that involves Jesus, a blind man, and spit. I did say different. So it's the first Sunday of the year, however, so let me share the list of the most common broken New Year's resolutions. And this was by Time Magazine. First one, lose weight and get fit. Quit smoking. Learn something new. Eat healthier. Get out of debt and save money. Spend more time with family. Travel to new places. Be less stressed. Volunteer and drink less. So most resolutions usually involve those. So I went up and looked and said, what are the top 10 for 2014? This was the top 10. Number one, lose weight. Get organized. Spend less and save more. Enjoy life to the fullest. Stay fit and healthy. Learn something exciting. Quit smoking. Help others in their dreams. Fall in love. And spend more time with family. And notice, not much about helping made it on that list. Volunteering kind of made the end, but helping others in their dreams made the top 10 of 2014, but not sure what that would entail. But what about helping on a normal, everyday basis? Volunteering's good. Don't get me wrong. We're going to Jamaica this year. We're going to volunteer. But helping someone achieve their dreams is good. But I'm talking a normal, everyday, regular basis. And notice that nothing about Christ made that list, either one. Either list didn't have that. And let me share a few more stats with you real quick. 45% of Americans make resolutions. 45. The percent who succeed is 8. And the percent that make it past 6 months is 46. And oddly enough, if you're past 50, they said that you're more likely not to make it. If you're under 50, you're a little bit higher to make it. So not real encouraging numbers there. So most people that make resolutions aren't going to succeed with that. And once again, Christ didn't make either list. And I'm not really against resolutions. I like goals better. I get tunnel vision at times, and my wife loves that. I get focused on what I want to get done. But I want to encourage you at the start of the new year to think about two possible goals for this upcoming year. It's the first Sunday, and two questions for you. Do you believe Christ can do anything? And do you have a helping mentality on a normal, everyday basis? So I'm saying, why not add these two? So we're going to look at a story found in Mark 8. It's about a blind man who was helped by Jesus, and notice that Jesus helped and healed a blind man who came across his path. And notice that Christ can do anything, turn the impossible to possible. And the story could be said a little gross, a little bit weird, but it's still a good, great story nonetheless. So everybody go to Mark chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 22. Okay, here we go. 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." And once more Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." And by the way, this is one of two healings of blind men in Mark. There's another one in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. But let's look a little bit closer now. So let's go back to Mark 8. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Now, Bethsaida was a town located near the Sea of Galilee. And the name Bethsaida means house of fish. And let's look at the people that brought the blind man to Jesus. They had qualities of being a helper. They were committed. And it seemed like they had faith. They seemed to think that Jesus would help the blind man. And notice that the people begged. You got to want something pretty bad to beg. Parents out there probably have seen your kids beg. I saw one at a Walmart a while back. There was a little boy, and he was on his knees begging for a toy. The mom said no, but he was still trying. But they had to care for him a lot to beg. They committed themselves to bring the man to Jesus. And this commitment can be said many ways. They were loyal. They were willing to work hard for him. And they were ready to persevere for him. And it sounds like I'm kidding, but I'm not. But Florida State University conducted a study that found out that people who put the needs of others before their own experience a warm glow. A warm glow. It made me think those bell ringers that freeze outside ringing the bell, they experience a warm glow. We're not outside because that's a tough job. But Mark 8:23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" So a few questions from verse 23. Why did he take the blind man by the hand? Daniel Goldreich, PhD at McMaster University, said, "Our findings reveal that one way the brain adapts to the absence of vision is to accelerate the sense of touch. The ability to quickly process non-visual information probably enhances the quality of life of blind individuals who rely on extraordinary degree on the non-visual senses." So the blind man would rely on the other senses. Taking the blind man by the hand would be a reassurance. And why do children, when it's busy or a lot of crowded or they're nervous, why do they grab your hands? Reassurance that mom and dad are there for them. And why did Jesus take the blind man out of Bethsaida? Why did he take him out? Let's look at Bethsaida a little bit closer. John 1:44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So we know a few prominent names from Bethsaida. Look at Matthew 11:21. I'll tell you real quick. "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So the people of Bethsaida saw Jesus and they refused to repent of their sins. And Jesus mentions other wicked cities that had not seen him, and they would have repented. They were stubborn people who refused to believe. And Luke 9:10 through 11, "When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing." So this was near the feeding of the 5,000. The people of Bethsaida saw Jesus firsthand, and they did not trust in Jesus. So Bethsaida was a wicked town. Now, why did Jesus, who could have the mute talk and the dead walk, use spit? So Jesus could accomplish anything, so why not spit? Spit was viewed as having healing properties, so spitting would show or display that Jesus' intentions were to heal. And this is where the gross part of the story comes in, but it says, "I looked into what makes spit important." So, saliva is made up of 99.5% water. Not too bad so far, right? And 0.5 consists of electrolytes, mucus, glycoproteins, enzymes, and other antibacterial backgrounds. And I found out a human body produces 1 to 2 liters a day. And saliva can be used for a variety of purposes. In the 1940s, saliva was used to kill bacteria strains. Research has shown saliva can be used as a painkiller. A 2008 study showed that saliva helps with healing. And I tried to read this, and it lost me in engineering stuff, but Penn State found that saliva can be used for energy. They had a device built, and they put saliva on it, and it would work. And all these sites say, why do animals lick their wounds? They say it helps with the healing process. And this is a mouthful, but I found out that there was actually a research center on spit. It's a mouthful, I'll try to say it, but John Hopkins University Center for Interdisciplinary Salivary Bioscience Research. So, the director, Doug Granger, says saliva has the potential to expose secrets of human biology and genetics, as well as helping combat disease. So now you know more about spit than you ever cared to know again. But all in all, spit is important. And notice as well that Jesus checked on him. He asked him a question. He didn't just heal him and walk away. It's easy in life to help somebody, but not quite finish the task. A while back, I saw an elderly woman, and she lost her car. And I was walking up, and I saw a couple get her, and they walked her until they found her car. They finished the task. Mark 8:24, he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Not about anybody else. My first thought when I saw that was Ents from Lord of the Rings. Do you see trees walking around? I think quite. So I looked into what blind people see when they're cured of blindness. Dr. Seen, a professor of vision and computational neuroscience of MIT, says the moments immediately following bandage removal are not quite as magical as Hollywood movies would have you believe. Dr. Cena believes these first moments for the newly sighted are blurry, incoherent, and saturated by brightness, like walking into daylight with dilated pupils and swirls of colors that do not make sense as shapes or faces or any other kind of object. And I read a lot of stories where people were so overwhelmed that they went back to life as a blind person. They'd blindfold themselves because life was too much to take in, too confusing. Mike May, a man who was blind for 43 years, said it was information overload. So for the blind man, the world was a little bit off. Mark 8:25, once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And my first thought reading that was I had to look up what year it was, but 1972 Johnny Nash song. Anybody heard that song? "I can see clearly now, for the rain has gone." There you go. So the man can now clearly see. So we see that Jesus makes another attempt on the blind man's eyes. So why two attempts? Could he have healed him the first time? Sure. The healing seemed to be a gradual process. The man didn't ask for help in the story. He doesn't ask to be healed. His friends brought him to Jesus. We don't know if it was his idea or not. He was a beggar, not in high social standing, probably used to rejection. Perhaps his expectations weren't real high that he was going to be healed. This could be a reason why it took two times, and we don't know if he had faith or not. I'm not sure he did, but you see a transformation in the story. He couldn't see in years, then he could see a little. Then his life was changed. The man could now see. So you would think his faith probably changed or increased significantly. And you could also make this description of those that are spiritually blind, living in darkness without a Savior, and then becoming saved and living in the light. So perhaps this would be called progressive faith. Little by little, he would start to believe. And Mark 8:26, Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." So the story ends well with the blind man now being able to see. But why not go back into the village? We said earlier it was probably a wicked town. Perhaps Jesus was being mobbed by people. And that you so mobbed you couldn't teach. Mark 1:45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside of lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Mark 7:36-37, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So Jesus was really being mobbed with people. One last possible reason. Earlier we talked about how difficult it is when sight is restored. Perhaps being out of the village would be easier for the man to get accustomed a little bit better. Not as busy, not as loud, no noises that would hinder him. Mark 6:31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So a quiet, solitary place would be beneficial to the blind man. And so why not go back to the village? Perhaps Bethsaida was too wicked. Perhaps Jesus was being mobbed and teaching would halt. Perhaps he wanted him out in open spaces when his sight was restored. Many possible reasons why not to go back into the village. So we have an unusual story of a blind man that was healed by Jesus. By the way, this was not the only time spit was used in the Bible. Mark 7:33-35, Jesus healed a deaf and mute man by spitting and touching the man's tongue. John 9:6-7, Jesus heals another blind man by spitting on the ground, making mud, and putting it on the man's eyes. So a lot of verses today we covered involve spit. Strange method to heal, but effective nonetheless. So back to the original two questions. It's the start of a new year. Do you believe Christ can do anything? And do you have a helping mentality on a normal, everyday basis? No better time to start than beginning of a new year. Helen Keller, shortly before her 60th birthday, expressed pity for the real unseen, for those who have eyes yet do not see. She said, if the blind put their hand in God, they find their way more surely than those who see but have no faith or no purpose. Thank you very much.